910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. An Israeli airstrike hitting a tent camp in the courtyard of a crowded hospital in central Gaza today, killing two Palestinians and wounding another 15, according to journalists working nearby. An AP journalist witnessed the strike outside the hospital where thousands of people have sheltered. Pope Francis, meanwhile, delivering his Easter Sunday Mass in St. Peter's Square, the 87-year-old pontiff calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Authorities in Indianapolis investigating a shooting that left seven minors hurt. Metro Police Deputy Chief Tanya Terry says all of those injured are between 12 and 17 years old.
It is extremely concerning to us that so many of our young people have been victims of gun violence.
All those injured in stable condition, no arrests have been made. Engineers in Maryland now working on the daunting task of removing what's left of the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge. Crews working to cut up sections of the twisted steel. This is ABC News. Fast food workers in California entitled to a higher minimum salary starting Monday. ABC's Brian Clark with details.
As $20 an hour minimum wage for most fast food employees in California takes effect on Monday, Alex Johnson, who owns Auntie Anne's and Cinnabon establishments in the Bay Area, says it'll hurt.
We're no longer hiring. We're not backfilling positions. We're not growing in the state anymore. We're not expanding more locations.
But University of California labor economist Michael Reich says
employees have had it very good. Profits are high.
He says that gives them room to absorb any losses. Brian Clark. Clark, ABC News.
Still no winner. The Powerball jackpot continues climbing after no one matched all six numbers on Saturday night's drawing. That means Monday's April Fool's Day drawing will be worth a, no joke, $975 million. No one's won the lottery's top prize since New Year's Day, meaning the number of consecutive drawings without a winner is now at 38. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. An Israeli airstrike hitting a tent camp in the courtyard of a crowded hospital in central Gaza today, killing two Palestinians and wounding another 15, according to journalists working nearby. An AP journalist witnessed the strike outside the hospital where thousands of people have sheltered. Pope Francis, meanwhile, delivering his Easter Sunday Mass in St. Peter's Square, the 87-year-old pontiff calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Authorities in Indianapolis investigating a shooting that left seven minors hurt. Metro Police Deputy Chief Tanya Terry says all of those injured are between 12 and 17 years old.
It is extremely concerning to us that so many of our young people have been victims of gun violence.
All those injured in stable condition, no arrests have been made. Engineers in Maryland now working on the daunting task of removing what's left of the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge. Crews working to cut up sections of the twisted steel. This is ABC News.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC. They're in good shape. They bring like beers out to the public park to play, and then they end up spending time like away from the court.
Well, you know, it's an easy in because you have plausible deniability. It's like, yeah, let's just go get some fresh air, some exercise, low stakes.
Low stakes.
Yeah, the more multifaceted the event is, you know, mm-hmm. like if you can also get exercise, if you can also get fresh air, if it's also something to do, it just lowers the pressure on the conversation that you have to add. And it gives you something to talk about right there. You know?
Yeah, I think it would be problematic for us, though, if that was a date.
Me and you?
Because
we're too competitive.
We're too competitive.
Yeah.
And I would just get really upset if we were on a team and just started dating. And if he made really stupid shots, or if he hogged, wouldn't normally have, like, he'll hog my shots, he'll poach my shots, then I'd get really mad and probably wouldn't do a second date.
So when we did that sketch, that was coming from a real place.
It wasn't difficult to act. I
get, you're a horrible person, Charlie.
No, we were both, I don't know if you noticed, but I was also acting that way as well. Yes, Charlie and Amory and Kim and I, for those who don't know, I'm just going to take over this podcast. For those of you who didn't know, the four of us did a video in Charlie's hometown of Milwaukee. And it was, Kim and I, everyone thinks that we were playing a California couple just because of how high.
We were presenting very.
Yeah, presenting very like Californian.
Yeah.
We're not from California. But we were certainly acting like perfectionists who we were trying to be like Todd and Margo on a pickleball court, right?
Yeah. Anyway, Charlie, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And, you know, I was thinking I got to get you guys on. First of all, the both of you. And one of the big reasons was you just celebrated 10 years of doing this whole social media video game. Gal. I mean, what? Like, first of all, I saw the video and where your daughter was saying that. And first of all, she has grown up so quick.
I know.
Don't they grow up so quick? I tell you.
They grow. You just blink. Yeah.
How old is she now?
She turns 17 next month. So she's 16. God. And my son just turned 14.
14.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that she said is that I think was a real tear-jerking moment in the video is just like you turning this hobby, that one video, the Christmas Jams video, into a career. Is Penn, you know, you're at home more, and Kim, you're at home more, and she even said she didn't have many memories because, you know, Penn, you were working in the news all the time, and obviously, that's a shared thing that we all have, the news business. So, I mean, were you expecting that response when you asked that question?
No. And certainly, we thought they were going to kind of haze us a little bit just about being cringy.
Which we totally accepted and deserve. Yeah.
That's at that age, that's normally what you get. And, and you're happy to have anything from them. Like, we're already... We're already talking about how we're going to trap them into seeing us more when they leave and they're still here. Like I think that's kind of where our brains sometimes go. But I mean, she's right. The news business, you remember this, Charlie, it's either 2 to 11 or it's 2 to 11. Mm-hmm. It's either 2 in the afternoon until 11 o'clock at night, or it's 2 in the morning until 11 o'clock in the morning. And I straddled both of those with my kids, and you're just a zombie. Because most of the time that you're home and awake, they're asleep. And so you've got to find some time that at least the two of you are awake. And it became a lot more pronounced when Lola went to grade school, right? Because it wasn't like, oh, I'll pick her up at, you know, noon before I have to go to work and I'll spend a little bit of time with her. There was literally nothing comfortable during the week where I could see her. We had a 7 o'clock newscast, so I couldn't get home until 8. Mm-hmm. And she was asleep by then. And so I understand why she doesn't remember me. And when we made this decision to move to our new jobs, the decision didn't include us being on camera influencers. We were originally going to produce videos for other people. That was what we were planning on doing. And then once we discovered this world and the opportunities within it of being able to express yourself, still be on camera, and make that a simpler way to just kind of control your own brand instead of working for others. That was attractive to us for that reason. And it also allowed us to make our own hours and to see both of them more. And in particular, like PC wasn't old enough to remember me not being around, but Lola certainly was.
Yeah.
And Kim, like, I got Penn's whole backstory when Penn was on the podcast the last time. But let's, like, what's your history in sort of media, and how were you feeling 10 years ago when this was sort of a topic of conversation? The social media landscape was very different. You know, it was a different time. So what's sort of your backstory, and how'd you feel then?
My backstory is very similar to yours and to Penn's. I worked in local news. I worked at Inside Edition in New York City, and I did all the red carpet stuff and traveled. And that's where Lola was born, actually, in New York. I went back to work and was on an airplane all the time as a correspondent for Inside Edition. And Penn was between jobs, and so he actually was primary caretaker for Lola. But that was a really hard, like, I was on the airplane with my breast pump. It was just like a hard, hard gig. So moved here doing the local news reporter thing again. That was a miserable existence. So with a friend, I actually started a, you know, like media training, and social media was new, social media marketing. We're like, I don't know what it is, but I feel like we could figure it out. And of course, video production. So I'd go out and shoot videos for companies, and Penn would edit them before or after he got home from work. So we're offering video production, social media marketing. So that was the company. And we had enough to get by. We weren't totally broke, but we only had about 2 months in savings before we did Christmas jammies. And I just told Penn, like, I'm not afraid to be broke. I grew up broke. I've been broke. But I am scared to be miserable, and we were miserable. And so, yeah, the plan was not to go viral and to do this. The plan was to get hired by local companies to create commercials and websites and run their social media. Like and then for the first several years after Christmas jammies, that's primarily what we did. We went into an office and did work behind the scenes, and occasionally we put out videos, but like, this was not the business plan, like doing this stuff at all. We were supposed to be behind the scenes, which would have been fine. And because of Christmas jammies, we got thousands of emails with companies that were interested in that. So that did start our business and allow us to do that. But like, to be clear, none of this was supposed to happen. But we are so lucky, and you probably live like this too. We are so thankful that the things we love to do, he loves to create music and write songs. I love to write. We love being goofballs. The fact that we both get to do this for right now, for however long this lasts, it's more than a dream come true, because I didn't even know that this was the dream, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. And wait, where was it you grew up again?
I grew up in Florida, on the west coast of Florida.
And Penn, I you grew up
here, Durham. That's right.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I didn't want to say in case I was wrong. So, and then you guys, what's the couple origin story?
I saw him in a bar. He was doing the worm, and I was like, "Back off, ladies! That man is mine.
Dang.
He is mine." Yeah, that Dang. Was it. I just put my claws into him.
Really?
And yeah, still he had no choice.
The worm gotcha.
The worm. Are you kidding me? He was in the middle of this trendy nightclub, and he was on the stage doing the worm. I was like, I'm sorry. Like, the other guys are like dressed really nice with their hair gel. I don't know how he got up there either, but I walked in. It was a little more nuanced than that, because he was dating somebody, and I think I was dating somebody. And so it was months later that we connected, but I knew. I'm like, that's him. That's so weird that he's just right there. He doesn't even know it yet. So that's how I remember it.
And Penn, do you remember meeting Kim that night?
I think that's probably one of the first times we spoke. But I knew who she was. She was a news reporter. And the first time I saw her on television, I was like, oh my God, it's her. And it's because I'd seen her. This is crazy. I'd seen her a year before that walking on a sideline of a Florida football game. And she walked by me and I got like whiplash. She was with your boyfriend at the time, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. So, and I was like holding a camera, like a peon, like running back. If you do college,
if you hold a camera, you're a very important person, by the way. It's a very hard job.
It is.
I was told that I was a peon. I'm so glad I did it for decades because it made me better at the job I currently have.
It's a hard, hard job.
But, so I was, you had someone holding your camera for you. and I was holding my camera for myself. Anyway, you walk past me and you've walked by and I'm like, that's the prettiest human I've ever seen in my life. And like when someone like that walks past you, you remember that. And so then I saw on TV, I was looking up because when you're at a TV station, they put all of the competitors' televisions like all next to you once the show starts so you can find out what everybody else is leading with. You remember this, Charlie?
I you're giving me PTSN.
Right.
PTND, post-traumatic news disorder.
Oh my gosh. That's a very hyper-specific sketch you should write. Anyway.
I know.
I didn't know if I'd ever run into her because I was a sports person and she was a news person, but then we did run into each other and that was nice. I'm glad that the first impression you had of me was that, I guess, doing the work.
So sweet.
What was the first date?
Well, to be really honest, because we worked these weird hours and we were both out of relationships, we decided it was best that we talk on the phone before going on a date. So for about a couple months, we just talked on the phone every night for like 3 hours, like we were in 1986.
Really?
And so by the time we went on a first date, it was like, oh, I guess we're going to get married now. So.
Yeah. So I think we might have like.
What's going on here? Are you guys?
I think we may have like.
You guys are buffering. You're couple buffering.
Okay,
right
am I
now.
Wrong?
Whatever she here. Doesn't want you to say, I'm interested.
I think
in
our
that.
First kiss was before our first date.
Yes.
More confused now than I was before.
So, I cannot say anything else.
Where did the first kiss take place?
On the mouth.
What was the location?
We could like, listen, I'm going to explain this to people and they're going to be okay with this. Okay?
Okay.
Because the only time we could see each other was after 12 o'clock at night. That was the only time because we were working, right? There were no other options. I think we had different like scheduled hours. Like I think I had to work Saturdays and Sundays because I was in sports. So there were no opportunities to have a date, but people would like all the people in the news would go to like a bar somewhere at 12 o'clock and hope that they can spend 2 hours before they go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. It was a crazy existence. One that we live the opposite of right now. We're in bed by 8 o'clock on some nights, like reading, because that's just a lot of fun. I know, Charlie. I know.
No, I mean, you got to start the bedtime process early.
You have to.
It's a multi-hour process.
Right. So there was a night that I lived in Lake Mary and I sort of like.
It's in Central Florida. It's about like 30 minutes from downtown.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass to get home from. So when I go out, I either didn't drink or I would leave my car and like crash with a buddy, which both of those things were frequent. And so Kim, like, and her friend Cynthia, I was like friends with them. And we went to a bar and they're like, don't drive home, just crash at our place. So I slept on the couch.
He slept on the couch.
Downstairs. But then we had like a Notting Hill moment. I don't know if you saw that movie.
Well, Notting Hill, refresh my memory.
Well, no, we just had a moment where we like made out on the stairs in my apartment, but then we slept in separate places.
Did we? Okay. I guess so.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I just went back downstairs and stayed on the couch.
Yeah.
Darn it.
No, I believe all of that.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
That's what happened. And then fast forward and oh my gosh, here we are today.
You know? You're like a little embarrassed right now, aren't you?
No, I just wanted, I know.
What it seems as though is that Kim is Penn, your PR person right now, standing, making sure you don't say anything that's going to jeopardize the future of the movie. You know, that's what this feels like. That's the energy.
I would say potentially that like we were in our 20s when we first met, and it's okay to
kiss.
On the mouth.
No babies were made.
Okay.
And then we had a date like a few days later. Or a few, like I got some time off at work and we went on a date. And I bought a shirt for it. I don't think I ever wore it again. I don't know how to dress, period.
I think you're a very snazzy dresser, my son. That's Kim.
I have to buy all this clothes for him.
I want to talk about The Amazing Race. I know it happened a little while ago, but you know, I feel it's cool that you guys start off making your own content and then you make that crossover to sort of traditional media. It doesn't happen often or a ton. It usually takes some time, but you guys did it. How did that happen? And how was it winning that sucker?
Well, we got a call from a casting producer who said, and we have always loved that show. I've loved that show as a news reporter at Inside Edition. I covered the finale of the Amazing Race several times. So I'm like super into the show. And when the casting producer called, I was like, absolutely not. Because you had to be gone for 30 days and you had no access to your cell phone. And I had two kids. And I was like, I'm not going to be gone for my kids for 30 days without being able to call them. And then my daughter said, and it was supposed to originally take place during February.
My daughter was furious that we said we weren't going to do it.
And she was at the time, probably like 13 or 14. And when it started the process, she's like, are you going to remember some random February in your life? Or are you going to remember going on the Amazing Race?
Wow.
I know. And so it's like, fine. And so we had to apply. So we had made an audition tape. We had to apply. We had to go through rounds of interviews. Then we got on the show, it started, and we did this, our season was sort of famous because we did three episodes, and then March 1st of 2020, so we shot three legs of the race, and then COVID happened.
Yeah, at the end of, like, I think February the 28th, we were in Scotland, and they said, hey, you guys, we're just going to have a kind of a down day, everyone just go back to your rooms, it's going to be okay, and you didn't have internet. You didn't have phones still. They were not granting us access to those things, but we could just turn on the BBC, which it was like an Italian cruise ship is trying to dock and all of London is completely beeped up. Like it was, and we're like in Scotland, we're right next to it. So we were able to put together, the COVID is literally, which was called the coronavirus at that point, right? Mm-hmm. Is the coronavirus is literally like hanging in a cloud over our hotel right now.
And you're not allowed to talk to other contestants unless there's cameras rolling. So when you're like, they say like you're on ice. So they take you down to like the hotel lobby to have your breakfast. And you're really just, you're not supposed to be talking to the other contestants who are right there. But we were like the oldest couple. And so, you know, we had this like a weird down day in the hotel, like when we weren't racing. And I just looked at the other teams and like, I'm like, you guys, we're going home. I'm like, we're going to go home. And they're like, no, they would never cancel their racing. I'm like, there's no reason. They're not going to keep us. And I would say to the producers, I was like, just tell us and just send us, like, just wrap this up. And took them like 3 days to figure us out how to get the entire casting, like to unravel everything to get us home. So they sent us home for 19 months. And then, you know, we were still deep in the pandemic, but in like 2021,
yeah. So
October 2021, we went back to finish the season.
And to put the timeline in your perspective, Charlie, we left for the race less than a month after we did our target thing.
Oh my God.
The initial target thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like when we first met, it was right around then. And then we didn't go back until the end of 2021.
That's wild.
So
shortly after I locked my keys in the trunk.
And then had to
break into my trunk.
Break into your own trunk.
What a good time. The untold story of the making of Husbands of Target is a documentary that needs to happen at some point. It is almost funny how I can go anywhere and that's like one of the two things people will bring up. Yep. And I'm like, yeah, wasn't my idea. Thank you. That's nice.
Didn't write it. Yeah. That was awesome.
Thanks, Taylor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. An Israeli airstrike hitting a tent camp in the courtyard of a crowded hospital in central Gaza today, killing two Palestinians and wounding another 15, according to journalists working nearby. An AP journalist witnessed the strike outside the hospital where thousands of people have sheltered. Pope Francis, meanwhile, delivering his Easter Sunday Mass in St. Peter's Square, the 87-year-old pontiff calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Authorities in Indianapolis investigating a shooting that left seven minors hurt. Metro Police Deputy Chief Tanya Terry says all of those injured are between 12 and 17 years old.
It is extremely concerning to us that so many of our young people have been victims of gun violence.
All those injured in stable condition, no arrests have been made. Engineers in Maryland now working on the daunting task of removing what's left of the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge. Crews working to cut up sections of the twisted steel. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Marquette season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Marquette was favored to win, but lost to NC State 67-58. Head coach Shaka Smart on what's next.
I don't know. We just lost in the Sweet 16. I'm not really focused on legacy. I did tell the guys after the game in the locker room that, you know, our two seniors, Tyler Kolick and Osa Iguodaro, it's been an absolute honor to coach this entire group. The worst thing about losing today is that, you know, we don't have practice tomorrow. We don't have another game to prepare for.
Marquette's Tyler Kolick asked this after the game.
Tyler, like, how do you balance your individual accomplishments over the last couple of seasons?
I mean, not many people make it to the Sweet 16. You know, I'm just happy to be out there every time with my guys. Like Coach said, I'm just disappointed that it's over.
Baseball, the Brewers win again, 7-6 over the Mets. Milwaukee with 16 hits on Saturday. Elvis Peguero, the winning pitcher. The Brewers home opener Tuesday afternoon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. On this Easter Sunday, plenty of clouds to deal with. We'll see a west to southwest wind on the light side with highs in the mid-40s. Overnight, those clouds stay put. Lower 20s will keep the light winds around. Still plenty of clouds on Monday as well. Highs in the mid-40s. Currently 35 degrees.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, folks, I am Charlie Behrens. This is the Kripescast, and here is my conversation with Kim and Penn Holderness. So you get back into the deal, and were you guys in, like, I mean, I know you want to win it, but were you thinking you had a good shot at winning it while you were doing it?
I mean, right before COVID happened, we'd won our first leg. Mm-hmm. If you watch the show, that means you finished first, like on, you know, one particular day of kind of racing around the world. And so we had some confidence. I think we'd kind of figured out how to communicate, and we felt older, but in a good way than some of the contestants. Like, we were going to be able to work some stuff out maybe. And then the one really interesting thing, and this, I think this actually really helped us a lot. The last day before COVID hit, we had a self-driving day, which used to not happen very much, right?
You have to read a map, and yeah. I have to navigate from the back seat while he drives.
And I had to drive like a stick shift. And it was all these things that millennials just didn't know how to do. Sorry, Charlie. They just don't.
I know. I had a rabbit. Okay. An 81 Volkswagen rabbit.
But what about a map? Can you read a map? Oh, you probably can.
I can read a map. I remember,
this is why,
guys.
You're an older millennial.
That's why.
Yeah. Now I'm going to take the benefits of it.
Yes.
There you go. Well, some of the younger millennials we were with had never driven stick shift. They never had to navigate with a map. Like all of these things that we learned to do, but that cell phones have kind of taken away the need to do. And so when we went back for the final several legs of the race, because of COVID, we couldn't get in taxi cabs.
So we had to drive everywhere.
And so everything was self-drive. And I really believe that was a big advantage for us because we're old.
I would say after the first three legs, we had a really, really, really bad day. And our worst placement was fifth. And I looked at Penn. I was like, we sucked today. We were awful. And we came in fifth. I think we could win this. And so, yeah, but we got lucky. We got lucky and we knew how to read a map. So I felt like we had a really good chance. Which is not, I'm very competitive, but I'm not overly confident. I'm just saying that like we could read a map. If it were a traditional season, maybe not, because a cab would have gotten lost and all that stuff. But in our season, I felt good.
Nice. And so winning the deal, was that what you imagined it would be like? Is it like what they show on the tally, or does it come with some stuff people don't see often?
I mean, it was really cool. Everyone was waiting for you, and we did have to do it twice. Like we got there and they were like, hey, can you do it one more time? Like from a different angle. And we were like, I'm not going to be as excited as I was before, but I'll try.
We ran through, we did the whole thing and he said, you're the winners. And then we hug and they do an interview and they're like, okay, we got some times. Can you just, I think we redid it two more times.
Yeah. And they ended up using the first one. I think they did
because you were tripping over getting your bag off. But they did. That actually happened a couple times. One time we showed up because we were really quick and they were not ready for us.
So the pit stop.
They're like, you're going to have to wait here until we, So like they don't ever interfere or get in your way, but there are times when you're like, we're going to need you to do that again.
And they keep it fair, right? Like if you got there, it's not like someone else is going to show up. They're like, okay, you won. Just hang on a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Well, that's really cool. Did you get any things afterwards that you weren't expecting, like interview stuff or just other opportunities that came from that randomly?
Not really. We've got a bit of a platform. We had one beforehand. I think people who go on Facebook and Instagram are sometimes a different cross-section of America from people who
watch
broadcast television. So I think just being out and about and hearing and meeting different types of people who are familiar with your work, I think that was one thing. But Charlie, you and I and Kim all know that growing a platform on a digital channel and growing a presence on a broadcast channel are two completely different
things. It's a different audience. Yeah. I don't even think that we experienced much growth on the digital platform. It's funny because the other people were still really good friends with everybody on the show. And they're like, oh, I thought there'd be more, like they'd get more followers or whatever. But which is fine. We did not go onto that show for that reason. In fact, my mom gave us the advice as we were walking at the door. She said, I don't know that this is going to help you in your job, but I know it could hurt you. So just be careful what you say. I was like, fair. That is really good advice. Very fair. So we were very careful.
Yeah. I feel like I was tiptoeing around this. I should have just said we met a lot of cool boomers.
It's an older crowd.
Like people who don't normally go on YouTube or Instagram or wherever.
Everybody's really nice.
And it's been lovely.
The people who love The Amazing Race are diehard.
Yeah.
They are very, very true blue. I had to get off of The Amazing Race, not the official Facebook page, but The Amazing Race fan Facebook page, because they do not like influencers. So they thought we were doing this to clout chase. I'm like, guys, this is not. No.
Yeah, that's our day job, is chasing clout.
We chase clout 9 to 5. I don't want to do that on a TV show.
Right. We're coming close on time. Want to respect your guys' time. But before we wrap this up, I want to do a little rapid fire. Who's most likely to, and these are just knee-jerk reactions, who you think is more or less likely to do this thing? Who's most likely to help on math homework?
Okay. Oh, me.
Penn.
Okay, you're a good math guy, Penn.
He's an athlete.
I have a trophy. I could show it to you. It's bigger than any of my sports trophies.
Is that the one you're most proud of?
No.
Okay.
It's just, but it's just, I was really good at math. I went on a bus and I like came back with a trophy.
Congratulations. Yeah. I feel like he did get enough congrats for that back in the day.
He played math.
No, I came off the bus like, yeah. And it was, of course, there's nobody there.
Your mom.
Yeah, she was there.
Who is most likely to pack the kids' lunches?
Oh, Kim.
Kim. Okay.
I show love through food.
And what was it? What was your go-to sandwich, Kim?
To eat or to make for my children?
To make for the kids. PB&J?
No, because like everybody's with the peanut butter. It's very highly. We do like a ham and cheese, ham and Swiss. Mm-hmm.
But it's really her accoutrement that stick out. Like, like the carrot and hummus game, like the individual hummus packet that goes in there, like the little,
little apple tier. Slices with lemon.
Oh, like my.
So you can get all brown.
Wait, what's wrong with peanut butter?
Well, a lot of people are allergic to peanut butter. So most schools are nut free so that you are respectful of people who have allergies.
When the hell did that happen?
It has been happening.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's very like if you like cut me, peanut butter would fall out because of like I was raised on peanut butter and jelly, but that's not which is totally fine. There's lots of other things to eat.
Cheers to the nuts allergies. All right. Most likely to forget plans on the family calendar.
Oh,
I mean
me.
That's
it's
great. Yeah, because like, I just don't put them on the calendar, but yeah, I don't think you forget them. Sometimes you just put them in the wrong place.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I could also have ADHD, but one of us needs to pretend we don't have ADHD. But I have booked plane tickets to the wrong city before. I showed up to the airport. We're needing to go to Florida.
Yeah.
And our tickets are to New York.
But then you had one that was the wrong year. You had one that was like for 2016.
Oh, I did.
In 2015.
Yes.
I did that. I just booked a flight in the wrong month. And I got to the airport. I was like, oh, shoot. Except I didn't say shoot. Okay. Who's the stricter one when it comes to curfews?
Ooh.
We're both pretty. Charlie, I think it's both of us. Like, we've both gotten pretty strict about getting people home. Like, that's a pretty hard curfew.
I know. It is interesting because our daughter's just now driving and trying to like, she doesn't try to push it, but she's like, what are the rules? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what the rules are, but I know I don't want to stay up until midnight. So I feel like it should be 11. So,
Do they have to wake you up and blow in your face when they get back so you can smell their booze?
So I have not heard that.
Yeah. My mom used to make me blow to see if I was drinking or smoking the pot.
Okay. Well, I heard something where, and maybe this is a good idea, you put an alarm clock like in the hallway outside your room and you set the alarm for the curfew. So the kid has to get home in time to turn off the alarm or it wakes up the parent.
That's a good one.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I think she would have, but she's not sneaky at all. She's not sneaky, but like she would have her brother go turn it off maybe instead, but she's not sneaky. So
I would have definitely had my brother do that. One time I got a drinking ticket right before I was going to college underager. Ranger Rick gave me at camping and I paid my sister to intercept the ticket that came in the mail, tear it up, and I had her put it in three different garbage cans.
Oh, that's an investment in your future. Underager.
It is.
Are your parents just now learning about this or is it something that you told about earlier?
They learned about it, I would say, a couple years later after I picked off my sister and she ratted me out.
Retrospective
rat. No, they're not. You have to constantly maintain these relationships in your family or else they'll throw you under the bus. All right. Who's most likely to pick up fast food on the way home after a sports game? That'd be Penn. Okay. Mm-hmm. Penn, what's your go-to fast food, my guy?
If I had to pick one, it's going to be Smithfield Chicken and Barbecue, which is not found anywhere but in North Carolina. But it's like North Carolina vinegar fast food barbecue, and they put coleslaw on it, and it's ridiculous.
Going for the local favorite. Kim, what's your favorite fast food?
I'm such a basic girl. I would like Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A, yeah.
I mean, it's very basic.
Kids love it too.
Yeah.
Have you ventured out to other chicken sandwiches? I will say the Wendy's chicken sandwich and Popeye's chicken sandwich could trump the Chick-fil-A sandwich.
You know, there's a new one that's open. It's not new for our country, but it's new for our area. What is it? Canes or something?
Raising Cane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Went this weekend and she really enjoyed it. Yeah. So we're going to have to venture out. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Try it out. Who's your son most like?
Penn.
And your daughter?
Kim.
Yeah. Okay. But I will say my son is incredibly empathetic to a fault, which is me. So like he has both of our neuroses. So.
Oh, lucky him. That's nice. Yeah. Cool. All right. And most likely to give unsolicited advice to the kids.
Yeah, that would be me, even if it's wrong or if I made it up right there on the spot. That would be me.
Are you kind of do you mansplain, Penn? Are you a mansplainer?
I'm trying to do less of it, which means that I do. So I like, you know, it's well, so great to
this
say.
It's not
like,
about you, Penn.
You know,
this is not about you. I know you used to do this, but that was in 1995. This is different.
Oh, see, that wasn't really what he was asking. You seem to have gone down
the advice thing. I did it. Yeah. So it's fine. No, it's not fine.
Yeah.
So we've touched a nerve there.
I love watching this relationship dynamic at play. It's very clear to see why you guys are about to be celebrating your 20-year anniversary after that fateful first kiss. Just a kiss on the stairs. And then Penn slept on the Davenport.
Yep. A Davenport. There's some.
The divan.
What's a Davenport? Is that a couch?
Yeah. Oh, it's a Midwest couch. And Kim, lastly, I want to say I used to do the red carpet reporting too. Yeah, this is how I did it. Hey, how's it going? What are you wearing? Keep in mind, I don't give a shit, you know? And then I just had these standard questions. I had terrible facial recognition. So I could be talking to someone. I'd have no idea who I was talking to. Were you better at it than me?
I was very, even though I was participating it, I had problems with it. Yeah. Because you can see the actors are all there. And I hated asking the what are you wearing thing because we weren't asking it to men. We were only asking it to women and like for men. And there was like you were burning a question to ask about a dress. And you only had on a red carpet, you have like two or three tops.
If you're a good news organization.
But I mean, it's an addition. I don't know. But they are being there because they're being paid to be there. I'm being there because I'm paid to be there. It was like the whole process was really like, I was so annoyed with the whole process. I hated it. I was not good at it.
That could be a whole podcast. You guys talking about this because Kim has some, pretty great stories and they're all like PG-13, but, just about where they sent you. Like where you thought you were going to go and where you ended up. Like, wasn't there a time you thought you were going to be at Tiger Woods' wedding and then you were in West Virginia?
No, I couldn't find my passport because we had just moved and all the boxes were there. So I didn't go. But the girl who went in my place thought she was going to the wedding. She thought she was attending the wedding. Uh-huh. So she was in a cocktail dress. But really, she was hiding in the bushes trying to get pictures of them because they got married on an island, like on a beach somewhere. This is 20 years ago.
Yeah.
She was hiding in a cocktail dress overnight in the bushes, trying to get video of Tiger Woods and his wife. And she thought she was actually, going to be a guest. And so it was very funny.
Did you have any regret, like weird interactions with celebrities on the red carpet, or what's the weirdest reaction you got?
I would say after I met Tom Cruise, I get his gravitational pull. I get the intensity. Like he is so, people who work with him or know him are like, yeah, Tom Cruise. He is so intense, but in the way that it's sort of like, yeah, I get it. You know, like why he's so good. It's like, it was a very unique energy. I forgot how to talk when interviewing George Clooney.
Yeah.
He is so charming that I didn't, they couldn't even use the interview because I was twirling my hair.
And you said like, so I went to, I'll go visit her at work sometimes. And I know the producers, and this was it, Colm, who was the guy who did it? Colm was like, you got to come here and see Kim's interview with George Clooney. And it was that she was twirling her hair.
She's still like, doing it.
She'd be like, so like, what are you doing here? Yeah, and be like, I don't know, what are you doing here? She's like, touches her stuff like this.
I don't, like, I think I was pregnant at the time. And I was like, so like,
you were so, like, I don't blame you.
Do you like being like in front? Cause he had directed a movie too. I was like, so do you like being like in front of the camera? Or do you like, I don't know, like being behind the camera? Oh, see, it made his, George Clooney just broke his microphone from afar. But it is, he was so charming. And not like, I think if you just saw him working, if he was working, you know, if he was a contractor in your house, you would still find him so.
Like in One Day at a Time.
But just,
I think that's literally what he was.
But not like, if you look at him, maybe not the most traditionally like put together, like handsome.
What?
But so charming.
What is handsome? If that's not handsome, what is handsome to you?
I guess he is pretty traditionally handsome. But I don't know, like his, he's just put together well. And I lost the ability to talk. So
That's fun. Do you still have that interview? Is that online? Can we all
there,
look that
there
up?
Is an interview on, I have it on a tape somewhere. Like, so, cause it was so funny that I got a copy of it. So.
Well, I feel like, you should maybe put that out on socials just to show where you came from someday, you know?
Do you have any funny stories? I know you have to go, but do you have any funny stories?
Oh, I've got, yeah. I mean, there's some interesting stuff. Like one time I interviewed Chevy Chase, except I was all the way at the end of the thing and Chevy Chase came up, I think to talk with the gal next to me because I think she was attractive. And keep in mind, I was toward the end with all the uncredited, not good news organization. So I tried to sneak a question in afterwards.
As you should.
Yeah, and it was admittedly so, not a great question, you know? And he just let me have it. He was just like, oh, that's really creative. I've never heard that before. And I was like, okay, cute too. I'll see you later, you know?
I have to say, that is not my favorite.
Yeah.
I don't love that because, I mean, it's so hard to be on. Yeah, maybe it wasn't the most creative question. But to be on, you're behind a metal barrier.
Right.
And you're so obviously, you're being treated like a third class citizen and you're being treated poorly. And then for him to respond like that, it makes, although Christmas Vacation is my favorite movie of all time, it makes me like him a lot less. And I'm sorry that happened to you.
It's okay. I don't care. I still think he's a funny actor. I just think he's also a jackass. But there are a lot of stories out there about that. And you know what?
Yeah.
That could just be his thing. You know, like when you go to like, you go to some bar or whatever and their whole thing is they just like give you crap.
Yeah, like you.
A Dick's or something, like or a Ed DeBevick's, you know, where they like the staff is rude to you. I think that's just kind of his thing.
His thing. But whereas if you'd ask that question, whatever it was, to Tina Fey or Amy Poehler or Maya Rudolph, those women would they would have turned it around and made it something really funny and they would have been really generous with it. So boo, Chevy Chase.
Maybe he'll figure it out. But there were a lot of good people like that, like Will Ferrell. I mean, that guy, you could ask anything to and he would just like riff on it. And Amy Poehler as well. I mean, I interviewed all those guys for some movie at one point. But
I would have died to interview them. I love them.
Yeah, it's always a real quick question. They don't remember it, I guarantee you that, but I do. So
now look at you. Now they would be in line to interview you.
I highly doubt that, but I really do appreciate that confidence in me, Kim. It's unwarranted, and I very much appreciate it.
I got
it.
You. You're a superstar.
Chevy's looking to get back into the business, so he may show up at some VidCons.
We'll see. Maybe he'll remember it.
I like it. I like it.
I know. You guys, thank you so much for coming on. Especially short notice. It's so great to catch up. And when can people buy the book?
Oh, we have to talk about the game too, real quick, Ryan. So we have a game. It's called What the Flock. It's a card game and it's available for pre-order now. We'll ship at the end of January.
It's a fun game.
Go to holdernessfamily.com.
Yeah. First of all, just give us the byline on what the fuck. What kind of game?
It's a game of words and birds through different word games. You have to assemble through cards and strategy your own little bird.
And the birds are kind of funny looking.
Yeah, the birds are kind of funny looking. So you win a series of word games and you use some strategy and you win the game. It's really funny. And it's a card game.
But it's meant for, it's a little more adult than our last game. So like, not super adult, but it's like ages 10 and up probably. Yeah.
No, don't say adult because they're going to think it's like Cards Against
Humanity. I said more adult.
No, more mature. I don't know. 10
it's
and up,
super probably. G-rated. Totally G-rated.
Very G-rated.
But it's a little more cerebral.
Yes. Got it. I think pre-order February-ish?
Yes, pre-order is in February and the book comes out toward the end of April.
Around our anniversary, Charlie.
Yes.
Oh, happy 20th. That's awesome. You guys, for your 20th anniversary, maybe you should... have a nice romantic date on the stairs in your house.
Yeah, we should. I mean, that is so adorable. And our 20th anniversary is next year. And that's okay.
Next year.
Please be nice. Be nice to her, Charlie.
That's what she said. She said next year.
She said next year. I said this year.
You were the one. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Whatever. See, you know what? That's why.
I think she does need a raise.
And that's the end of this interview, ladies and gentlemen.
It was nice talking to you.
It was nice talking to you, too. What's going on? When I'm doing my show in 2 months, you're not going to be there? Is that?
I'll be there.
Yeah, she'll be there.
You're going skiing.
That's 1 month. Yeah, it's my yearly trip to Telluride.
That's fine.
He goes every other year.
I should have called you first to check the date.
No, Anne-Marie is so excited.
I know.
She's really
Anne-Marie's opening.
She's really excited.
I'm going to heckle her just because I feel like it's a good experience.
And you're doing, is she doing two shows with you? Is that right? She's doing Durham and she's doing Raleigh?
South Carolina.
Charleston. We're going to Charleston.
Oh, she's doing Charleston. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, Charleston and then up by you guys. So it'll be a fun time. The next time I go around, Penn, you'll have to do some time. And by the way, Kim, if you want to do a hot five or something.
Well, hot five, babe?
You know what?
Hot five February hot five?
I am best in as a backup dancer. So
okay.
I appreciate that. And mm-hmm. I got you. I got you. I'll be there to heckle.
Okay. That was a very firm no. Okay. I like that.
We have gifts, and stand-up comedy is not one that I need to explore.
You'd be great at it, actually. I think
I would be great at it. I'm kidding. No, but I love that you guys do that. So,
It'll be fun to see you there, and we'll have to get dinner on Penn since he's not going to be there. I think he's buying all of us dinner.
Buying all of us dinner.
Thank you guys so much, and watch for deer. All right.
Thanks, Charlie.
All right. See you guys soon. Thank
you. Bye, Charlie.
Bye, bye, bye. And that is it for this week's episode of the Cripes Cast. Make sure you follow the Holderness family on all their platforms. It's very simple. It's at Holderness family.
At the Holderness family.
At the Holderness family. And huge thanks to Kim and Penn for coming on. And just chit-chatting. It was a lot of fun with those guys, and we'll hope to have them on again soon. Kelly Maraca, thank you for producing this podcast. Hannah Milos, thank you for editing it. And big thanks to all of you for listening, and hope to see you soon sometime somewhere. Until then, keep removing, watch for deer, and do tell your folks I says hi. Also, go Packers. We're going to the Super Bowl, baby. I can't believe I got this far in the episode without mentioning it, but go Pack, go. Bye-bye.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down, just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin, the Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.
When it all goes to hell and I need my head right, I go to where there ain't no stopping go lights. But I got no desire for the 5-star resort.
Got a cousin with a cabin way up north.
When it's cold in the winter, I drink beer and treat. When the snow unthaws, you can bet I'll drop a ski.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.